And welcome all of you online today. Thank you for being with us as well around the region and maybe even around the world. We have people down in California and across in Africa watching us today. So thank you. And great having you. As a pastor, this has been the most challenging time. To be able to get back together with you is just wind in my sails. I'm just feeling the you know, I don't know if it's just adrenaline or God or whatever, but I'm feeling it. And so thank you for being here. But it's been a challenging time. Almost 40 years of ministry, 37 years I've been a pastor, and I thought I could handle anything. Just about everything that can come against you does so in that kind of time frame as a pastor. And yet, COVID was a brand new deal and had no framework for it. Didn't have a context for how to navigate and lead God's people through this kind of challenge. But you have been wonderful. The church has been fantastic. So thank you for making it easier for your spiritual leadership and those of us who serve you on a consistent basis. It's been fantastic. It's, just everything kind of gets just wonked up. The building delays and that sort of thing has been a challenge. And man, what do you do with that? My kids are getting married. I've got two boys married. My daughter's going off to college here whenever they open college. If that ever happens, we're not going to be able to get rid of her. No. She's been a blessing, but she's going to be leaving off for college. So we're going to be empty nesters. And that's a new thing for us personally. So in the professional world, they don't teach you how to build buildings in seminary. And I just tell you that if you get called into ministry, make sure you take that class, how to build a church building, because you're going to need it if you get into that place. But I didn't take that class. And so that part has been so my whole world. And on Wednesday night, I went to a prayer meeting with a bunch of motley guys that just love God with all their heart. It was just wonderful being able to hear from them. And as they're praying over me and just sensing, the frustration that I'm going through. And they prayed God's spirit on me, prayed God's power on me. They prayed something in me that I said, hey, this, and God began to drop the message that I'm going to give to you today into my heart as I sat there receiving guys praying over me. The verse that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It says, Jesus talking now, because Jesus started out by saying, hey, I'm the light of the world. While I'm with you, I'm the light. But guess what? Now you are the light of the world. And then he used a little illustration. He says, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And he goes, and think about this. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it in a basket. He puts it on the table, gives light to everybody in the whole house. He says, then you, church on the ridge, let your light so shine before this region. The people in this valley, the people that you interact with, let it shine so bright that they see something in you that brings glory to the Father in heaven. Every one of us is supposed to have something in us that draws people to Christ, that allows people to see Jesus in a profound way. We are the light for 45,000 people. If you just take the reach, the driving reach of Church on the Ridge, North Bend to Falls City, a little bit of the plateau. I know some of you come further than that. God bless you. But that's the effective reach of Church on the Ridge, about 45,000 people. 43,000 of those people claim to have no church. It's a daunting task in a dark world. Now put COVID on top of that. Put fear on top of that. You know, how many of you have ever asked somebody to come to church? Online, how many? See online. Some of you have asked people to come to church. How many were just ready to go, oh yeah, great, thank you for asking me, I'm going, what time? In fact, I'll come pick you up. And it doesn't happen like that. Usually it's kind of a hesitation. It's kind of a, well, wait a minute, I'm not sure. And then the excuses start coming, right? Oh, man, I got to wash the dog on Sunday. I'm really going to, hey. And it doesn't take a whole lot for somebody to have an excuse not to go to church. Put COVID on top of that. Now it's, oh, if I go to church, I'll die. You know, I could get sick and kill grandma. There's some terrible things that happen. So no. And we just put one more barrier up for people to be away from church, a daunting task to try to get them to come. And our job is to reach all 45,000, 43,000 of those people. There's a new church going in. It's starting today. Timberlake is opening a new branch here in Snoqualmie, the city of Snoqualmie. We're so excited about it because that means our job just got a little bit easier. Got some, a little more help alongside of us to reach these people. So we're excited about that. But still, the task is huge. We have a new building. How many of you drove by the new building, saw the new cross? Yeah, if you're online, man, you got to check it out. We put a neat video together. David and his team put that together to show you the cross going up. We're excited about it. As I mentioned in the video, that cross is the whole church. The rest of the building is a building. It looked less like all the other buildings in the business park. And it changes the entire dynamics. My microphone okay? Hello? Something's happening. I could tell. Never turn left and I'm fine.
Which way is left? Lefty, loosey, righty, tighty. Okay. For those of you online, I don't know what happened to the microphone, but is this better? You're all good? Okay. The building itself is just a building, look like every other building in the business park, but you put a cross on it. My wife just gave me the calm down, Pastor. No, you listen to your wife, brother. You put a cross on that building. All of a sudden, it changes something that is temporal to something that is eternal. Something that can bring people in a room for a collective thing to something that changes the destiny of hearts. Because of your faithfulness, your gifts, your prayers, and your trust, we're going to have one more tool in this valley to reach those thousands of people. However, with what I mentioned with COVID and the way people mentally are thinking, we're going to have to change the way we functionally do church. Simply inviting them in is not probably going to be the way it's going to happen anymore. So these lights that God has called us to be, we're going to have to take it outside of the walls, outside of our church building, and be in the community as lights. Little lights everywhere we go, shining in a dark world. And not only leaving it up to the leadership, Pastor April with the youth and the pastors on the team, to be able to help people come to faith in Christ, it's going to require each one of us to say, hey, it's my responsibility to be a light in the hearts of these people to help them come to faith. During that prayer time, God gave me a word. I don't know if it's a prophetic word, but it comes from Zechariah 4. You don't have it in your notes there. You have, I think, verse 6 in there, but it's the word that came to me. Zechariah 4 is a picture. It's a prophetic picture of the future. And Zechariah is seeing these menorahs. You know, the menorahs, the 7 lampstands. And they're normal, except they have got these pipes coming off of them. And the pipes go to these bowls. And these bowls are being filled by 2 olive trees. So these 2 menorahs, pipes coming out of these bowls, bowls being filled by the oil from the olive trees, and it's a continual flow, continual flow. And so those menorahs, which normally would have to be lit by the high priest, are staying lit continually as it flows from these trees. And the picture is obvious that the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to fill the bowls, which fills the pipes, which fills the menorahs, which keeps the lights burning. No longer are you going to be required to hear from me to have your lights continually burning, but you're going to receive directly from the Holy Spirit, and that thing is going to burn continually in your heart. If you will allow the oil of the Spirit to flow into your life, it will flow out of your life in the sense of light. And if you remember, the menorahs were placed outside in the holy place, not in the most holy place, but in the holy place. And it shone onto the table of showbread, the bread of presence. And if you know a little bit about the word, you know the bread always represents who? Christ, the bread of life. And so we're to shine so that people can receive the bread of life and be transformed. I'm going to be encouraging over these next months, maybe even years, that you would open up your life to allow that flow of the Holy Spirit in you like never before. That you might shine the brightness of God on Christ Jesus. Zechariah makes that famous statement in verse 6, not by might, not by power. Anybody know how the rest of it goes? But by my Spirit, capital S. It's going to happen not by might, not by power. And the might, the word that is used there for might is military might, you know, strength. The word for power there is an intellectual power, a debating power. I can overcome you with my words. So military might and intellectual might, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. You think about how we're trying to fight the arguments in our world today. If we had enough gunpowder, you know, there may be some Second Amendment people here. Yay, go Second Amendment. Don't take my gun out of my cold, dead hand, right? If every one of us had a gun, if everyone has had 10 guns, it would not be enough power to stand against the forces. When Jesus was getting ready to be arrested and he's telling his disciples about how he's going to be arrested. And Peter comes up and says, hey, look, I found two swords. What do you think? And Jesus said, oh, that's plenty. Two swords against the entire Roman legion? Seriously, Jesus? Is it? But he's saying it's plenty because we're not going to use the swords. You're fighting the wrong battle. We're not going to do this by military might. We're not going to fight the Romans with our swords. We're going to fight them through the power of the Holy Spirit as we allow the Spirit of God to flow into us and flow out of us. Fear is gripping this dark world. I've never seen anything like it. Fear has got people kept inside, afraid to interact with somebody else. It's a daunting task in a dark world, and we're here to make a difference. And the darker it gets, the more afraid people become, and fear causes some interesting reactions. We all know that when fear hits us, we have that two common reaction, fight or flight, right? I'm either going to run away or I'm going to raise up my fists. When we fight, we say and do things that a lot of times we wish we hadn't said or done. Any of you ever had a fight with your spouse and you went, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have thrown that. Ah. How many times have you walked away and you said, oh, I wish I would have said that. Oh, why didn't I say this? Division. Fear brings division. You can see it maybe even in your own house. One says wear a mask, one says don't wear a mask. One says send the kids to school, one says no, we better not send them to school. One says this and the other says that. It's division, and many people responding in fear because there is such an unknown about this. Though if I talk to any one of you, I bet you would know what's actually true. Right, we hear what's on the media, but then if I talk to you, you'd say, "Oh, I know the truth." You just give you a few minutes, and you would explain to me why you're through your intellect why you are right. And if you talk to me, I'll tell you why I'm right because I know I'm right. I don't care what the media says; I know I'm right. I don't care what Dr. Fauci says; I know I'm right. You know, many of us think we know. We know masks work, and other people say masks don't work. People say COVID will kill everyone. Some people say COVID only kills people who are already dead. This is a huge government conspiracy. We know it. It's just here to rig the election. Other people say this is a deadly plague that needs to be stopped before more children die. The Chinese started the plague. They did it to get back at President Trump. God caused the plague to get back at sinners. See, we know. We know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Except the people who say they know. We live in this unknown. And this unknown is another word for darkness. If you've ever traveled for business and you go into your favorite hotel and you know what's going to happen, you're late, you're tired, you just gone through your meeting, and you get to the hotel, and you know what's going to be in there. The bathroom's going to be on the left, and you're going to walk down a little hall, there's going to be a little mirror there, and the place to put your luggage, and then on this side, there's going to be the stand with the TV and a little coffee maker, and the bed is over here on this side. If you're really wealthy, you got a little settee and a balcony. You know. It's a hotel room. But you don't know. So the first thing you do when you open that door is you turn on the light. You want to see, you want to know what you know. Light gives clarity. Light dispels the darkness, the unknown. Pastor Stephen, I want you to come up here and talk to us about this whole idea of darkness. And kids, this is your opportunity. If you're watching us at home, kids, watch this as Pastor Stephen comes. He's got some cool things.
I do have some cool things. I brought some stuff with me. This is pretty exciting to be here in person with everyone. And man, we're just going to have a good time. But what we're about to do is we're going to need some audience participation. We're going to do some stories. We're going to tell some stories. But I need your guys' help. All right? You guys can't just sit there. You know, usually when Pastor Charlie's speaking, you're just like, oh, let me absorb all the knowledge and different stuff that's going on. Today, you're going to get involved, all right? So when I say the word execute, everyone has to go, ah. I mean, here you go, ah. What? Andrew, don't yell so loud, okay? All right. Yeah, that was really good. That was really good. Then we're also going to talk about a storm, all right? Paige, there's going to be a storm. And so I need you to stomp your feet or do this on your legs for a storm. Okay, a little bit louder. It's a really big storm that we're going to talk about. Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you, Pastor Charlie. All right, good. You guys are great. Hey, how many of you have ever been afraid of the dark? How many of you have ever been afraid of the dark? Dark, yeah. All right, I see some people raising their hands. See some people raising two hands. Totally. Growing up, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the dark. Lots of people, Pastor April's talked about how she loves sleeping. Sleeping is like her favorite thing to do in the entire world, besides maybe Mary Andrew, but other than that, it's sleeping. And, she says sleeping's number one. Sleeping, everyone loves sleeping. I did not enjoy sleeping growing up because sleeping meant that you had to go into the dark. I didn't get it. Everyone told me growing up, they're like, oh, yeah, you are a child of the light. I'm like, if I'm a child of the light, why do I have to go into darkness every single night? What's going on? I have to go to sleep in this? So I would always say, hey, can you just keep the door open just a little bit and keep the light on in the hallway? Or can I turn the light on in the closet? And whenever there was a light, I would feel better. Be like, oh, yes, okay, there's a light. Now I can finally go to sleep now that there's a light. Kind of contradictory because, you know, you need darkness to be able to sleep, but I really felt that I needed this light. And so growing up, going through a bunch of different things, I'd always have this light until finally I realized that I had a light that was way more powerful and better than any light that I could turn on. And this light was actually inside of me. And I got this light from a man named Richard, and it was so cool. But you see, he got it from someone. And we can actually trace back where the light originated from. But we have to rewind a bit. So we're going to rewind. We're going to do a story. So we're just going to go back a few thousand years. And Pastor Charlie was just talking about Peter. Peter's awesome. I love talking about Peter. I love hearing about Peter. Peter in the Bible. This guy, he really thought that he was dialed in with everything that was going on. And you can read about it. And maybe hindsight's 20/20. But when you see it, you're just like, Peter, what were you thinking? What was going on? But you see, after Jesus had ascended, after he had left, Peter had received the light from Jesus, and he was going around, he was telling everybody about Jesus, saying, hey, guess what? There's fear in your life. There's things that are going on. There's things that you're afraid of. No. Jesus is there. If you've got sickness, if you need help, Jesus can help you. And Peter's going around, he was doing miracles, all these amazing things. And the leaders and the authority at the time, they were like, what is going on? We got rid of that Jesus guy, he's gone. And now there's these 12 other guys and they're doing miracles. And they're being led by this Peter. We got to get rid of him. So they arrested him. And they threw him in jail. And it wasn't like a jail today. It was, jails are not nice. They're not nice. Prison is not nice. But this was really, really terrible. This was 2,000 years ago, dark. It's more like a dungeon. All right, so you're down there. He's in the dungeon, and he's waiting to be executed. Okay, let's try that again real quick. Vicky, I need you to participate. He's waiting to be executed. Good. All right. He's waiting there to get executed. And if you're waiting to get executed, I don't know what you might be doing, but I know what I'd probably be doing. But Peter, he was asleep. He was sleeping. What? How can you be sleeping when you're being when you're waiting to get executed? Nice. Well, it's because Peter had the light. He knew he didn't have to worry. Knew he didn't have to be afraid. And he had learned this from being with Jesus. And if we rewind a little bit more, there was a time where Jesus had been talking to a bunch of people and he'd been going around doing miracles. And can you believe it? But Jesus had gotten tired. King of the universe, creator of everything, got tired. And he's like, guys, I need a nap. So when, you know, kids, when your parents are like, guys, can you just like play together for like half an hour and just let me get have a nap? Understand that even Jesus needed a nap. So your parents, they just give them the nap, okay? So Jesus is there and he's saying, hey, guys, I need a nap. And Peter, this is when Peter, oh, Peter, hey, Jesus, you need a nap? Okay, no problem. We're going to get on the boat. We're going to go to the other side. And you just sleep right here, Jesus. You just sleep. Oh, it's going to be so great. You're going to go to sleep. You take a nap. Nobody's going to wake you up. Andrew. Yeah, there's a disciple named Andrew. Andrew, do not wake him up, all right? Do not wake him up. Thomas, don't wake him up. Not even for anything. Philip, okay? No reason. We're not waking Jesus up. He's getting a nap. So Jesus goes to sleep. They're on this boat. And Peter, I can just imagine now, he's on the front of the boat. He's telling all the disciples what to do, and they're going to the other side. He's probably standing up there, and he's singing probably Into the Unknown or something like that. He's standing at the front of the boat, and all of a sudden, it was not like today. It was started like today, and then the sky grew dark. Clouds rolled in. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden, the wind starts rushing, and a storm comes in and it starts rocking the boat. It starts rocking the boat back and forth. And the disciples are there and they're like, oh, what's going on right here? Right, Peter's like, hey, guys, we just got to keep going. I can see the land right over there. We can't keep going. No, Peter, we're dumping water out. This is crazy. Peter, you got to go wake up Jesus. I'm not waking up Jesus. Yeah, you got to go wake up Jesus. No, I said we weren't waking him up for anything. You keep telling us about how you're in charge. You wake up Jesus. Fine, I'll go wake up Jesus. So Peter goes, and he's going to wake up Jesus. And Jesus is there asleep. And it's probably something like this. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. The boat's going down. We're probably going to die. It'd be great if you could wake up right about now. Peter, we told you to wake up. I know, I'm trying. Jesus! Jesus! Jesus, wake up! Whoa! Peter, what? What is going on? Jesus, do you see we're in a storm? The boat is rocking, it's going, we're bumping water over the side. Do you care if we drown? Jesus looks at Peter. Says, Peter, what are you worried about? Don't you have any faith? Jesus goes to the front of the boat. And he says, peace, be still. And the storm stops. Storm, stop. And the disciples are looking at them. They're like, whoa. Who is this guy that even the wind and the waves obey him? And that's when Peter realized that it's better with Jesus than without Jesus. That with Jesus, he doesn't have to worry. That with Jesus, he's protected. That with Jesus, he's safe. And you see, Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus passed on that light to Peter. And Peter, now knowing that, he knew that he had to go and take that light to other people. Maybe they weren't in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, but they had storms in their life. Things were going on. He wanted them to know that Jesus is there to calm the storm. That's good. So now he's in prison and he's sleeping. And it's an amazing story. God does a really cool miracle. You can read about it in the book of Acts. But Peter doesn't end up getting executed. Yeah. He doesn't end up getting executed that next day, but you should read about it. God protects him. And Peter went on to hand that light off to more and more people. And it eventually made its way to a guy, like I said, named Richard. lived in Australia, in Perth. And he met a young 18-year-old named Stephen. And he spoke into his life. And he passed off that light. I brought a diving light to represent that. That now, no matter where I go, I've got the light of Jesus. It's inside of me. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry about the dark. I don't have to worry. Jesus is with me. And if you're in, sorry, adults, fifth grade or younger, I've actually got some waterproof lights for you too. Not just one, but I got two for each one of you. And the reason why is because I want to hand that light off to you. But once you have the light, you can't keep it to yourself. You have to go and take that light to somebody else because there's someone in your world, there's someone in your life who needs to know that Jesus can calm the storm in their life. So when you leave today, Kids on the Ridge, make sure you stop by the table over there and get your light. Thank you, Pastor Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Folks, we are the light of the world. People are living in fear, darkness. And Christ left that light, gave it to each one of us. When you see somebody who's living in darkness, living in fear, what do you do? What do you do? Fear of COVID, fear of the election, fear of the future. How do you turn the light on? How do you give them that light? Let me give you six ways real quick. There's only six in your notes. I got a bonus one for you. And I see that Stephen took all of my time, so I'm going to finish up here in 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. Number one, when you see someone living in fear, you encounter them. Remember, they're not going to come to church with you, so you got to say something to them. The first thing that you can do is get a sword, hold it to their neck, and say either love God or die. Now, write that down. Put it in your notes. In fact, it'll fill in the blank for you. So if you guys are like, I'm not going to write that down. It's just going to fill it in for you. You're going to take these with you. Number two, yell at the idiot who cannot see truth. Why are you not wearing a mask? You're killing people. Why are you wearing a mask? Don't you see it's a conspiracy? Just yell at the idiot. Tell them they can't see truth. Number three, preach to the sinner and preferably use King James English. Number three, all right? You find somebody and they just can't. They're living in fear. They're living in darkness. Preach at them in King James English. Number four, show disgust by rolling your eyes, walking away, and hoping they will follow your light. Just roll your eyes. Oh, you're an idiot. Don't say it, though. Just walk away. Roll your eyes, all right? Number five, ignore them because there's no hope, and if God wants to save them, that's up to him. Number five, just ignore them. Let God deal with it. All's over with. Number six, show them all the statistics, all right? Show them the graphs, the percentages, the science, and the data of all the people who have died over COVID and the number of people who have lived after getting COVID and the amount of kids who have died and the current death rate, the severity rate, the morbidity rate, the R-naught, the cumulative death toll, the little children in Zambezi State who have no ventilators. You know, inundate them with science and data. If you're going to convince somebody the light, just hit them hard with science and data. I don't see many of you writing in your notes. All right, here's the bonus one. Isn't it interesting that my science and data is right and yours is wrong? Isn't that interesting? All right, number seven, the bonus one. Send them a link to a YouTube video of an interview of somebody that thinks the way you do. Just flood their email with YouTube links of people that have said what you believe is truth. You know, if I had a dollar for every YouTube video people have sent me over the last 5 months, I could retire in Zambezi Stan. It'd be awesome. Why are these seven options not very effective? It's not by might. It's not by power that is going to reach people. But by his spirit, says the Lord. So no matter how much science and data you have, no matter how much your good arguments are, no matter how much your great preaching is, no matter how much talking you do to that person, no matter how much cajoling, no matter how much you power up, it will not reach them for Christ. That is not the methodology that God has put inside of us. It is by being the light in a dark world, shining bright, We share with them the truth. Sandy and I and Hannah have started watching this video. Jeff Mahal turned us on to it, called The Chosen. And if you've not watched it, it's done really, really well. You got to kind of bing it, and it'll show up on your thing there. But it's the truth. Let me give you the truth of God's word. You see somebody, they're fearful over wearing a mask, or they're frustrated over not wearing a mask. They think it's all conspiracy. You got both sides of the fence, school, no school, and they're frustrated and they're in the dark because they don't know, but they think they know. Paul in Romans chapter 14 addresses this. The closing teaching in his seminal work, Paul's work, Romans, is his most fantastic work. And coming to the end of the whole book, he's written this whole book, and then he comes down and it boils down to chapter 14. Chapter 15 is a wrapped up, and chapter 16 is a great place to find a name for a baby. If you ever want a new baby name, just open Romans chapter 16 and go, clunk. Oh, look, Sophothanes. That's a unique name. Wow. But Romans 14. He says, welcome people who are weak in faith. But don't get into an argument over differences of opinion. Welcome people who are weak, but don't get into arguments with them over differences of opinion. Welcome all the Lord's followers, even those who are weak in faith. Don't criticize them for having beliefs that are different than yours. How come you're wearing masks? Don't you trust God? How come you're not wearing a mask? Don't you know the law? All right, let me show you my YouTube. Let me show you my status. Let me show you my stuff. And the body of Christ is divided over it, and the world looks at it, and they're in fear over it, and we don't have the answer. And Paul's saying, hey, here's the answer. Let me read it to you in the CCV translation. It says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to wear a mask, but another man whose faith is weak does not wear a mask. The man who wears a mask must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not wear a mask must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge? So one man considers going to school in person more sacred than another. Another man considers distance learning and homeschooling. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die from COVID, we belong to the Lord. Why are we arguing about this stuff when the world is dying and going to a crisis eternity, and we're to be a light, and we're arguing about whether mask or not mask, school or not school? We're getting on Facebook, we're getting on the blog sites, and we're just tearing it up, and we jump into it and say we have the truth, and Paul's saying knock it off. Therefore, stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your own mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in another person's way. I am wearing this today. Can you see my mask? It's so cool. George Steyer got this for me. I had my buff, and then I had this other thing, and it just was difficult, and George came up with this deal. I'm wearing it because I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. I'm not living in fear of COVID, but I don't want to be a stumbling block. If your brother is distressed because what you wear or don't wear, you're no longer acting in love. That's God's word to me. It's God's word to you. Do not by your not wearing, destroy your brother whom Christ died. Do not allow what considered good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God, check this out, is not a matter of mask or no mask, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not about mask or no mask, school or no school, 6 feet or 12 feet, gathering, no gathering. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I will wear a mask not because I think it makes a huge difference in the cause of world health, because I don't want anyone to miss Christ. I don't want anyone to see and go, hey, there's a pastor and he's not wearing a mask. He's killing people. I'll wear a mask because I want that person to see Jesus, to be a light to him. Anything that distracts people from Christ is darkness. You might want to write that down. Anything you do or I do that distracts people from Christ is darkness. Because in him there is light and there is no darkness. Let me close. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. When you walk in the Spirit of Christ, the Bible teaches us there in Romans 14 that we have righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. What are people missing in our world right now? What are people living in darkness and unrighteousness? Fear and no joy. The very opposite of what they're supposed to see in you. And those of you online, there's a see it in you. There's see righteousness, peace, and joy. Don't let them miss it. Where does it come from? The kingdom of God is not about mask or no mask, but about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit from that oil, from the trees that flow through the bowl. It fills the bowl through the pipes into the menorah, which light up the bread of life. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. There it is again, righteousness. What is righteousness? It says, I'm okay. Even though I'm a sinner and filled with garbage in my past, my future is secure because I am clean through the blood of Christ Jesus. And only through him, not of works, nothing that I have done, but because of Jesus, not by my own strength, not by my own power, I cannot get to heaven. No matter how many good things I do is not going to get me there. No matter how many good arguments I have, no matter how many cures of cancer or COVID I find, but through the blood of Christ Jesus, I am righteous in him. 1 John 4 says, there is no fear in love. I don't have to fear because God loves me, but perfect love drives out fear. Peace. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I have peace in my life. I don't know how to get the building done. I don't know how we're going to do church. I don't know how we're going to reach these people, but I can be at peace. The most famous psalm in all the Bible, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me around the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear nothing. I will not fear COVID because God is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of all those who want to argue about what I'm doing wrong and what I'm doing right. And he anoints my head with what? Oil from the tree of life that I might give light. And my cup overflows, and surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm at peace, folks. Hang on to him, and you too will be at peace, joy. Romans 15 says, I pray that the source of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with a confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you connected to the oil? Are your pipes clean? Is there junk in there that's keeping the oil from flowing? Is your light burning bright? You don't have to be Pastor Charlie. You don't have to be Stephen Furtick. You don't have to be Billy Graham. The light that God wants to light in you is enough to light your world. I read a story about a helicopter pilot in Vietnam who was called to a secret mission, which means he had to fly in at the treetops with no lights. And the people at the LZ couldn't light any lights either to drop off the men. And the pilot is just barely being able to see, and he can't tell where the clearing is. And so he's radioing down to the people on the ground saying, guys, do you have anything that you can do to light something up? He says, no, we're under strict orders not to make any lights. He says, do you have a match? We've got no matches. Finally, the guy calls back and says, hey, I've got a Zippo lighter. He says, great, do something because the clearing is not very big and just a little bit to the right or the left and we're going to crash and the soldiers on board, lives are at stake. So the soldier pulls out a Zippo lighter and that little light was enough to bring that helicopter in. Folks, you don't have to have a searchlight, but if you just allow the Spirit of God to light your lighter, and you'll walk with that thing in the dark world. People will see and they'll go, hey, hey, there's safety there. There's safety in you. There's righteousness, peace, and joy. They don't need another argument. They don't need your best intellect. They don't need you to power up and tell them how they're wrong and you're right. And they need you to shine bright. want you to stand with me. We're going to sing this last song, and I'm going to let you go, guys. It's been great having you. I want you to sing this with me and allow fear to be dispelled in your life so that you can walk in the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit.